Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to MMA and Stuff on HalfGuarded.com, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. My name is Matt. That is Michael Coughlin, Esquire. How are you tonight, good sir?
I'm watching dog videos, so I'm great.
Like what kind?
Just random shit of just dogs being cute.
I like the ones, the slow motion ones, where the dog can't catch the food.
Oh, that's great.
You know that one?
Oh, I love when you see a dog like that, and like eventually he gets that look on his face, kind of like, look, I know that I'm a dog, and this is kind of like the thing I'm supposed to do with my life, and I've completely failed at it. Can we all just like pretend like it didn't happen? It can happen to any dog. It's totally natural. Every once in a while, you go a little limp when you're going for it, and just stop looking at me.
I have a dog story to share with our listener.
I wondered about where you were. I assumed that because you said, like, speaking of pure evil, I assumed there's something to do with your dog.
No, I meant the show is pure evil.
Oh, yeah.
But tonight, we ran out for an errand or something, me and the kids, and we get back. And after like 10 minutes or something, Emma's like, oh, what's that? I stepped in dog poop or whatever. I'm like, oh, great. Then I look and she's like tracked it all through the kitchen.
Oh.
And then we're like, oh, Lucy pooped on the floor. She pooped in the living room on the hardwood floor. My daughter walked in it, walked upstairs, walked downstairs, walked through the kitchen. It's like tracked everywhere. So we had to clean it up, but it's like getting in between, you know, like on a wood floor, like the little
slats.
The slats in between. I'm trying to get it out of there. It was awesome.
I'm a little.
I had a cleaner shoe. Then there was like a mat by the door we had to put in the washing machine. It was a whole thing.
I'm kind of concerned about your daughter's spatial awareness. You didn't seem to be very aware of her surroundings or anything. She's walking around in dog shit like around the whole house, and like only it takes her a while to notice it. Like...
We did have a discussion about that, okay. And I'm like, how did you not notice that? And she's she had shoes on, yeah.
Okay.
Which is the first issue. Usually we take our shoes off when we come in. There's like a bucket for the shoes by the door. But I don't know if her stepping in it barefoot or in her sock would have been necessarily better either.
Yeah, because at least you would hope that if she stepped in it barefoot, she would notice.
You would think. But yeah, it was awesome. Anyway, we had UFC on Fox this past weekend. It was on Saturday night. I don't know how to make a segue from that. I was trying. This was the last Fox show that UFC will have for the foreseeable future. It was at the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Attendance was 9,010 people with a total gate of $616,000 and 633 cents.
You know, if I had been thinking about that in advance, yes. I would have maybe gone if I'd known to be the last show ever on Fox. But does that really matter?
No. But I guess that this was like the second best ratings in 2 years or something for a Fox
really?
Show. Yeah. In the main event, Al Iaquinta defeated Kevin Lee by unanimous decision.
Oh, that explains the ratings. Okay.
48-47, 48-47, 49-46. Big win for Rage and Al. I imagine Kevin Lee would have been the betting favorite in this fight. And it was a competitive fight. Even you can tell by the scorecards, obviously. But Iaquinta, I think, won the first, fourth, and fifth rounds. Lee got, I think, a couple takedowns in the second and third and had the back at one point. But the fourth and fifth round, it was just like Rage and Al wanted it more, and he was raging, throwing punches and just lighting Lee up. And I think Lee thought he could coast and maybe won the first three rounds. He just looked lethargic and like he didn't really want it as much.
You know, it's funny, but just kind of talking about this stylistically, Al fought kind of, by the way, it's really weird to call him Al. Like, I guess that is his name. He's Al Iaquinta, but I always say Al Iaquinta, the whole name.
Yeah.
I never say Al. Like, his name is Al. He's like, his girlfriend calls him Al.
Do you think it's short for Albert or Alfred?
That would
be
Albert.
That's why I'm not allowed to interview people.
I don't know. I think this is a hard cut.
Hey, what's your name? What's your full name, by the way? That'd be my first question.
Honestly, I'm more curious about that than anything else. Well, actually, I'm curious about that in his real estate dealings. We could probably find out what his full name is through some sort of like licensing.
Alexander? What the hell?
Okay, that. Why would you go by Alan? Alex is good. I didn't even think about Alexander.
Huh. No one shortens Alexander to Al.
Yeah.
No,
anyways, the point is that the way he fought kind of was like Max Holloway and Nick Diaz, like as far as like that pressure, hands down. Not like his hands were down, but he was a very pressure style striker, and he's a guy who's not he's not like a smooth striker or anything like that. You know, it's not Israel Asanjanye, whatever that fucking dude's name
Adesanya.
Is. Adesanya. Yeah. Well, he's not like, Anderson Silva or somebody like that. You know, this is a dude that's just kind of an ugly white guy, and he's making it work for him.
I think, as far as realtors go, he's the best at fighting in the world.
You think he's better than Brian Stann?
Yep.
Yeah, Brian Stann might be able to beat him in a fight.
Well, he's a lot larger.
I'm sorry, were we talking about the best pound-for-pound realtor in the world? Or just the overall best realtor in the world?
I don't know that. Does Stann have his license?
He runs like a real estate empire or something like that. I'm sure he could sell a house. Blew him up in Iraq.
Fair.
Children aside.
Yeah, but those weren't sturdy houses.
No, they were made by the fine Bluth family.
This brings Rage and Al's record up to 14-4-1 in his last 7 fights. He's 6-1. His only loss, a unanimous decision loss to Khabib.
Now, Rage and Al's a little bit of he's still a Raging Al, not an Alexander the Great, but he's moving up the rankings. I saw he was like ranked like number 5 or something like that. And
he's 4 now. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm like, that kind of fits. That makes sense. Like that's about where I would have him, I guess.
Kevin Lee's no joke. Like this is a big win.
It wasn't a fluke. Like he took everything that Kevin Lee had. He went up against Kevin Lee's very best. Lee had his back, worked for a choke, all this stuff. And Raging Al was very calm throughout it. And he broke him. I mean, he won this fight by just breaking a man. It was like, I don't want to say shocking. That seems a little too strong. But he really should be in the mix with, a Poirier or somebody like that.
He called out Connor after the fight.
Sure, yeah. So it's sort of Anderson Silva. So.
yeah. The top 10 lightweights, obviously you've got Khabib as champ, and you've got Ferguson, Connor, Dustin Poirier, Raging Al, Kevin Lee, Edson Barboza, Justin Gaethje, Pettis, Michael Chiesa, and Nate Diaz.
Yeah, I was looking at that earlier today because I don't know why.
That's a good division.
Except for there's one name there that really stood out to me.
Chiesa?
Pettis.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It's just like Anthony Pettis. First of all, I'm surprised he's in the company, let alone ranked in the top 10 of a division.
You think that's just based on his name?
Well, he did beat, he's got some okay wins. I looked at like his record. It's this weird back and forth. And he's dropping down weight classes and moving up. And like, he lost to Poirier, but there's a hell of a fight. And then he won a fight. And it's not that he's bad or anything. I just don't think of him as being like a top 10 guy. I feel like a top 10 guy should be, I don't know, some Russian dude that nobody, like you can't say his name.
Yeah. He's won and lost back to back to back at this point. Like, you know, he wins one, loses one the last 6 fights. So,
like, he's a good fighter, but I do think he's probably kept afloat by his name and his past reputation. I would not favor him against like
any of those guys.
Yeah, like, and not just that, but like, there's a drop off. Although, you know, there's kind of like a drop off, it seems, between like Iaquinta and everyone else, because like Kevin Lee is a really good dividing line in that division now.
Mm. Well, the other guy who looked pretty impressive on the show was Edson Barboza. He was in the semi-main event. He defeated Dan Hooker by knockout with a punch to the body at 219 of the third. Hooker just was too tough for his own good. Like, this Hooker took a bad beating.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it was Weinstein-like. It was just impressive what this Hooker put up with. I mean, it really was, though. I mean, this Hooker just
showed a lot of heart.
Kept getting beaten on by this Hooker knew that the money was worth it. You just don't complain. You don't say anything. And this Hooker didn't stop until he was done beaten. I mean, it really, though, like, all joking aside, and it's not a very good joke. In fact, it's downright pathetic. Barboza beat the fuck out of this man. Like, Hooker is what happens when you try the Iaquinta style and it doesn't work. Like, if you try to, like, pressure a guy and break him, and the guy just beats the shit out of you for 12 minutes, eventually what happens is Hooker was walking towards him with his hands down, and you could tell he was begging for Barboza to hit him with something hard enough to end it, but it wouldn't happen. It was like Barboza was like a little cat toying with a dead mouse, and this mouse, also known as a prostitute mouse, was just begging for it, begging for one final, you know, le petit mort, if you will, and it just didn't come until it did.
A lot of body shots, too.
Ah, yeah, you know, all just sprayed all over Hooker's body. It was, yeah.
Rob Font defeated Sergio Pettis, 30-27 on all three cards. Pettis, like I predicted, would be too small.
And yeah, he was way.
He was smaller and slower. Not a good combination.
Yeah, it was like one of those noticeable smaller things. You're just like, oh man, your career's fucked. Enjoy fighting in Japan or Singapore or whatever. Like his dudes, like his fucking career prospects are essentially a glorified version of Bloodsport.
Charles Rivera extended his record for most submissions in the UFC to 12, defeating Jim Miller with a rear naked choke at 115 of the first. This was weird, especially for like a guy like Jim Miller, who you know is like a black belt and has submitted tons of guys on the ground. Like, Oliveira just got his back like a minute in and got in a rear naked choke. It was. I found it very odd that Miller wasn't able to defend better here.
It's very poetic, if you will, to bookend this decade of their respective careers, where Miller just, remember when he tapped out Oliveira with that knee bar, it was one of the weirdest knee bars because he just kind of rolled and he grabbed it and everybody's like watching and Miller just kind of like slowly grabbed it. And then he, like, it was almost like Oliveira didn't know what was happening. And then he's like, oh shit, I better tap. And this time he just took the back with ease and grabbed the choke and choked him out. And old Jim Miller really shouldn't be fighting anymore. Like, yeah. This is Dana White wants to give Oscar De La Hoya shit for Chuck. Well, Jim Miller's really not that far away from it at this point.
Jim Miller's lost 5 of his last 6. So there you go. He's 35 now, 29 and 13. I think he's got the most fights in UFC history or something.
I think he's never won most fights. And I think Cerrone's the most wins.
Oliveira's the most. They should do Oliveira versus Cerrone.
Cerrone beat the shit out of him once before.
Oh, that's right.
Body shot from hell.
You're right. I remember that.
And you know where it was?
Denver.
Milwaukee.
I've heard of that.
Yeah.
I did not see any of the prelims. They were on Fox Sports 1. Zach Otto defeated Dwight Grant.
Didn't see it.
Dracar Close defeated Bobby Green.
Did not see it yet.
Joachim Silva defeated Jared Gordon.
Nope.
Jack Hermanson defeated your buddy Gerald Meerschaert.
Oh.
Submission guillotine choke.
I heard about that.
Zach Cummins defeated Trevor Smith.
Nope.
Dan Aige defeated Jordan Griffin, unanimous decision.
I'm watching that fight right now, and it's not bad.
Okay. Sorry you the spoiler.
I don't really care. Now I know I can skip the last round.
Mike Rodriguez defeated Adam Milstead, and Juan Adams defeated Chris De La Roca on the Fight Pass prelims. Fight of the night went to Silva versus Gordon, and performances went to Ray Janelle and Charles Oliveira.
Should be Raging De La Roca. It's a Rage Against the Machine joke.
Yeah, Zach, I get it. Thank you for explaining it.
I was explaining it to the listener. I don't want him to feel left out.
Fair.
People, it's like, you know, nobody likes Dennis Miller unless they're smart. And I want people to realize that they can be smart too.
I feel like smart people don't like Dennis Miller either.
Well, they don't get the references unless you're smart, you see. Or have a wide knowledge of, let's just move on.
Let's move on to Bellator. Another sad, sad affair. They had two shows this weekend, one on Friday and then one on Saturday. The first on Friday was on Paramount, and then the Saturday show was only on DAZN. I saw none of the Saturday show, but I saw some of Bellator 212, the Friday one. That was the one where Michael Chandler defeated Brett Primus by unanimous decision, 50-45 on all three scorecards.
And that sucked.
Okay.
It was fine. It was just Chandler was just a better wrestler. He just took him down. Right.
So that's, I believe, Chandler's third lightweight title win in Bellator, for you keeping track at home. In the semi-main event, Javi Ayala defeated Frank Mir by TKO at 4:30 of the second round. This was sad, would be one way to describe it. Mir got a takedown in the first. It might have even won the first. But for some reason in the second, like, he got pushed up against the cage, lost his mouthpiece, and then just got punched in the face a bunch and tapped out.
It was like he was dead tired or something. Like, it was but,
like
it was
in the weird. First, he didn't do shit. He had, like, side control and just kind of laid on top of him. I don't know why he was so gassed. It wasn't.
Well, I'm going to, I'm guessing it's because he's, you know, old and fat and didn't work hard. And he has like a side career as a stand-up comedian and a podcast and all these other factors that may have contributed to the subtle decline in Frank Mir's skill set.
Did you see his daughter was there, like one of his cornermen? Maybe that's not the best move.
Was she attractive?
No.
Oh, never mind then.
I mean, you might be into her. I don't know. Like,
is she 18?
I don't believe so. She's in high school. And I think she plays,
this conversation.
She plays for, on like the boys' football team.
Oh, that's.
Let me. I'll find out more. Frank Mir's daughter.
This is getting odd.
It's you asked the question. No, her name is Isabella.
Wait. I'd like to point out for the record. Wait. Her name's. Look, she's in high school. I don't think that MMA reporters should be focusing on underage children anymore. You know, it seems like it's
she's also a wrestler. I don't know if she's in high school or college. That I can't find. But either way, she was in the corner, I think. And seeing your dad get punched in the face like that and lose the fight is probably weird.
Sounds like it'd be fucking awesome, but you know.
In your situation,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
We also had AJ McKee defeating Daniel Crawford with an anaconda choke.
Which AJ McKee is this?
The younger one.
Yeah. Oh, I think
the good one, the one that's actually good.
I think I remember this. He like really cinched it on. I remember he like rolled with it and held it on for a long time. If I'm thinking of the fight, I watched a lot of that shit on Friday. I had nothing to do. Shocker.
Weird. Can't imagine why. In a women's flyweight fight, Juliana Velasquez defeated Alejandra Lara. And in the opener, Sam Sisola defeated Derek Combos by split decision.
Like, are you just going to gloss over the significance of that victory for Sam Sisola? His giant return to the big show is one step closer.
On Saturday, we had Bellator 213, McFarlane versus Letourneau. This was for the Women's Flyweight Championship of the World. McFarlane got the win with a triangle at 3:19 of the third.
Good for her.
Do you have DAZN?
No, I had it for one day. And then I immediately canceled it because I was like, I don't want to accidentally get billed for this shit. So I got rid of it.
I like that we're reviewing a show neither of us saw any of. Lyoto Machida defeated Rafael Carvalho by split decision. Sounds exciting.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Wow. And this shit was on, and this was from Hawaii. So, like, most of the country is watching this, like, I don't know, well after the witching hour.
In a fight that actually sounds kind of interesting, Neiman Gracie defeated Ed Ruth with a rear naked choke at 2:15 of the fourth.
Oh, huh.
One thing I did see. Yeah,
that's right. These are all fucking 5-round fights because of Rory McDonald.
One thing I did see was that, like, the next day after Ed Ruth lost, there's video of him walking down staircases on his hands. It was really impressive. Like, wow. He went down like 5 flights of stairs on his hands. It's bizarre. He's like, I'll come back better than ever. Then he just, like, walked down all these stairs on his hands. It's pretty good.
There's like a. Your average American couldn't walk down 5 flights of stairs on their feet.
Walking up them would be more challenging, I feel
like. I know, but I don't think they could do down either. Not without stopping. There's no way.
I always get nervous when I try to slide down railings.
Does that happen often?
No, I don't really do it because I get nervous.
I was going to say, it's like, are you required to do this? Like, is it?
No.
Is the restaurant business, is this like the equivalent of a fireman in a pole?
Just even as a kid, sometimes I would see a railing and think about it and be like, going to hurt my ass or something on this. We also had Liam McGeary defeating King Mo by knockout 53 seconds of the third round. I actually saw a clip of this because there was some controversy that McGeary hit King Mo with like a cheap shot after the fight was over.
Oh, I hope he did.
And in the opener, it's debatable. It's kind of weird. The ref kind of stepped in. King Mo was getting up. And then, like, McGeary didn't really hit him that hard. It was weird. I didn't really think much about it, but I think it was just clickbait stuff. In the opener, Nanhua Dung defeated Kona Oliveira by TKO, 205 of the third. There were some prelims and post-limbs, but we're not going to cover those tonight.
No, maybe next week.
You know who else fought this past weekend?
Canelo Alvarez.
Yeah, good job. He fought on DAZN. I don't think anybody watched it. I didn't hear much about this fight. It was at MSG. Was it at MSG? I think it was at MSG, and it was like sold out 20,000 people or something. A lot of people there for it, but he was fighting a guy named Rocky Fielding, who was, I think, I forget. He was a champion, but like a secondary sort of bullshit boxing champ in a couple weight classes up.
He wasn't one of like the real champions of boxing. He was one of the bullshit ones.
Well, you see WBO a lot. It wasn't that. It was something else. Either way, I don't know. You didn't see much about this fight anywhere. It wasn't like people were talking about it. And you wonder, you really got to wonder if DAZN's going to recoup all this money they're spending.
Oh, I'm not really. I don't really know what's going on with the world anymore. None of this stuff makes any sense. I kind of get the impression that all the people in charge see that the end is coming and they're just saying, fuck it, let's just go crazy. And they're all just making crazy bets because they all know that somebody's going to run everything and they're just taking their chance. And so some of the assholes like, fuck it, I'm going to start a sports channel that you only use on the internet, and I'm going to pay hundreds of millions of dollars to a fighter to fight on it, and I'm not going to tell anyone. That's not true. I saw those Michael Buffer commercials.
I probably saw those too, but do you think people pay enough attention to that sort of shit where they're like, oh, DAZN, I'll find that app and download it and start paying for it?
No, of course not. This whole thing is it's first of all, that name, real, you can't discount how stupid that name is. Like, that's a really dumb name. Like, DAZN, really? It sounds fucking stupid. It doesn't sound like a sports thing at all. You could have just called it Paramount Sports or something like that. People were like, oh, I'm going to get the sports channel. Hey, what channel is that boxing one on? The new sports one. Or what channel is that boxing on? I don't know. DAZN? It sounds like you're going to go to some sort of like gay German nightclub and dance to some sort of electronica. So that's probably part of their problem. It's like branding. You know, you want Mexicans to watch your show, or do you want gay German dancers? I know which one I want to watch my sports channel, but call me old fashioned. I like the gay dancers.
So Canelo signed a 5-year, 11 fight deal worth a minimum of $365 million.
It's always good to guarantee a downside of $300 million.
And DAZN charges $10 a month. Do that math.
Oh, fuck no.
Like, it doesn't add. I mean, there's got to be more to it. But they also are paying for Bellator. They're paying for all this other shit, too, where it's like, most people, I mean, WWE with that huge name and all their pay-per-views only has like 2 million subscribers worldwide or whatever it is. And that's 20 million a month. I don't know, man.
That's it? Oh, yeah. I can't do that kind of math. And I don't want to do that kind of math. The problem is that I don't think the people in charge are doing the math either. And that's really dangerous. At least I'm aware that I'm like, somebody's like, hey, should we make this deal? I'm like, I don't know. There's a lot of math involved there. It's not really something I do. Then I would probably go home and try to do the math. And if I couldn't do it, I'd be like, hey, guys, I can't do this math. I can't help out. So I'm like, these guys are like, hey, man, should we do this deal? I'd be like, hey, there's a lot of math involved. Fuck it. Do it.
Sometimes you just got to take a swing, I guess.
I mean, sometimes you just got to spend $300 million on something. Man, we've all been there. Like, you're out Christmas shopping. And like, you got to get some gift. Like, man, I can't help it. It's got to go buy me a sports network.
Speaking of taking a swing, Oscar De La Hoya wants to fight Dana White in a boxing match, apparently. Over the last couple of weeks, Dana and the Golden Boy's CEO, Oscar De La Hoya, have been at odds. Dana White did not like Chuck and Tito fighting. He called De La Hoya a cokehead. I think we talked a little bit about this in the last show. So eventually De La Hoya was doing an interview saying he could beat up White in a fight, then going as far as suggesting a 3-round boxing match between them to settle the score once and for all.
What are you going to do with the other 2 rounds?
He wants it to be on the undercard of a Canelo fight in May. Dana White spoke to TMZ and said, I just heard De La Hoya say on TMZ that he would kick my ass in the ring. That makes sense. This guy likes to see 50-year-olds fight, so it makes sense that's the fight that he'd want to do.
Good for Dana. Oh, man. Still, there's like a 50-50 shot this happened. Like, come on. If I thought we had reached the world like it peaked at the end of 2016, and there's 2017. Then this year got even crazier. Come on, man. Of course they're going to fight next year.
Do you remember when Dana was going to box Tito?
Yeah. I wrote a big scathing column about it. I was all righteous and upset about it because it was stupid. Like, it was a no win. And I think eventually somebody realized, you know, all that's going to happen is Dana's going to make Tito look stupid or Tito's going to beat up Dana. Who cares? And then they stopped it.
I feel like people would have bought the shit out of that if it was on pay-per-view.
Yeah, but nobody was watching the sport, period, back then. Like, it wasn't like a big boom time.
That was after 05, though.
Oh, I guess it, no, you're right. It was after, it was right there in the beginning of the thing, yeah. So, yeah, okay, yeah. It would have done something, but, geez Louise, man, that would have really just said, fuck it, we're not even trying to be a sport.
That would have been one of the few fights I would have gone back and watched a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah, as opposed to all the other ones you didn't.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's some fights I've seen, you know, a handful of times or whatever, but something about those two boxing amuses me.
God, it'd be so awful. Imagine, like, Tito's the pro fighter, and he's just horrible at stand-up. Like, he's bigger and stronger and more athletic, and he should be able to win just based on, you know, being a fighter and not a, you know, exercise instructor, but he's really, really bad at punching people. I mean, he did knock out Chuck. So.
And Ryan Bader.
Yeah. He tapped out Bader.
Well, yeah, okay. You're right.
And there's no way that punch would have, I think that was just, no.
One of Ryan Bader's former opponents, John Jones, made the news again today. I believe you actually predicted this last week.
It didn't take long at all.
Jones will be subject to drug testing under USADA for his comeback fight against Alex Gustafson. But Jones has decided to pass on additional testing suggested by the California State Athletic Commission, which recently granted him a temporary license to fight. CSAC executive director Andy Foster informed MMA Junkie of Jones's decision on Wednesday. Earlier this week, Jones's attorney Howard Jacobs said a final decision hadn't been made. Jacobs did not respond to follow-up requests for comment. Jones's participation in the additional testing conducted by the Voluntary Anti-Doping Association was not a requirement of his licensure, but several commissioners told the 31-year-old fighter that signing on would improve his reputation.
Yeah, I don't really know what these guys are thinking here. This still makes no sense. Oh, you can improve his reputation. Like, it'd be like if you want to get your driver's license back because it got suspended for a DUI or whatever, and the judge was like, okay, you needed – I think it would be really good if you took these classes for rehabilitation. But here's your license anyway, so you're going to take the classes, and then you'll be like, yeah, sure, judge. And then you don't, because who does that? Besides my mother. My mother would do that. But my mother probably wouldn't get suspended for a year and a half for using steroids in a cage fight also.
I feel like she'd want to have an edge.
Well, if it depends on how – if a doctor gave it to her, maybe.
She could justify it. Brazilian doctor.
I mean, she's in theory, my mother does have problems achieving and maintaining an erection. Mm. So I guess she could be given some pills like that.
Fair. As a sweetener, the commission essentially agreed to pay for the extra effort, subtracting the cost of Vada's fees from a $205,000 fine Jones paid for a positive steroid test at UFC 214. Initially, Jones appeared open to the idea of testing. Jacobs later qualified that his client was agreeable in principle to Vada, but needed to see the fine print of what was required. His lawyer said, we need to see exactly what it is that we're agreeing to as far as what Vada is testing for, when they test, what their restrictions are.
What John Jones should do is every day get on Instagram Live or whatever the fuck and do his own random drug test and just show the results. Just go to the fucking Walgreens to get a over-the-counter thing and just like go in the bathroom and pee and come out and be like, look, guys, says I'm clean, and just use that. It would be just as point. I mean, come on. If it's going to be voluntary, honest to goodness, you know what? That's not the worst idea, because then he could just be like every day in the public eye showing people, hey, I'm clean. It sounds like something Trump would do, and that seems to work these days.
On Monday, Jacobs told MMA Junkie there were some issues with the CSAC proposal for Vada testing, which called only to test Jones for performance enhancers and not drugs of abuse. Jacobs did not elaborate any further.
So, yeah, I guess he's probably angry that, you know, that does make sense. John wanted to do it, but they weren't going to test for all the drugs. So he thought, well, I'm not going to get my whole reputation back. He wanted them to test for everything. They wouldn't test for drugs of abuse. He's like, well, that's not fair. I want to show that I'm clean.
The big difference between USADA and Vada is that Vada doesn't conduct its own results management and passes test results directly to the athletic commissions and fight where it's been employed. So that was the issue with this thing in the first place, was California essentially was waiting for USADA's decision on Jones's penalty and then didn't like the penalty. And Andy Foster was bitching about the whole
Don't say that you're going to accept the penalty before you know what it is, you morons. I remember we went over this. I was just like, it was dumbfounding even then. And then like the only thing I can say in Brian Foster, Andy, whatever Foster's defense is that USADA really did seem to go out of its way just to say, fuck it, guys, we're corrupt. And to a degree, I'm like, wow, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, really, I could not imagine they were going to be like, eh, we're going to give him 5 weeks. Huh? Yeah, 5 weeks. He turned over some state's evidence. 5 fucking weeks is what he ended up getting from them. We don't even know he turned over.
We don't know yet. Every time somebody pops, I assume it's Jones, though.
Oh, yeah. We've only had like three since.
Oh, there's been a few, but they're minor.
I know.
Like there were like two today.
Oh, were there?
Yeah, but they were guys no one's ever heard of.
I got to update the thing then.
Hang on, I'll find them. Let's see.
I'm sure they're important, though.
No, they were so unimportant that I didn't even bother
setting them aside. There are no unimportant fighters. There's just small men.
No, I think they were like welterweights.
Oh.
Let's see. I lied. They are. It is a small man. UFC featherweight.
Oh.
Bharat Vijay Kondarar. Given 2-year suspension by USADA. The 29-year-old Indian fighter has accepted a 2-year suspension after violating the anti-doping policy. Kondarar tested positive for exogenous baldenone, an anabolic agent, and its metabolites in the failed test, as well as a metabolite for tamoxifen, which USADA classifies as a hormone and metabolic modulator. Kondarar's 2-year suspension is retroactive to November 2nd.
Had he ever fought?
He has competed once in the UFC. Yeah. He lost his promotional debut via first round submission to Song Yadong last November.
I don't know if you could really have much more of a disappointing career than fought once, lost in the first round submission, suspended 2 years for steroids and really dumb steroids too. Balderone. Like, what the hell? That's like Hulk Hogan in the 80s shit. Like, the Ultimate Warrior's like, come on, man.
Let me see if I can find
out. Like, Zeus is out there going, really? You're still using Balderone?
And there was one more, too. I saw. Oh, Jessie just missed weight. She's moving back to bantamweight.
Oh, yeah.
Or she couldn't make weight, and they just canceled the fight or something. She's supposed to fight KGB Lee.
Yeah, she's still number one in my heart.
Means a lot.
What if it did?
What if it did mean a lot?
Yeah. What if it meant a lot to her?
That good for you too.
Yeah. Sweet.
I'm just skeptical that it does. That's all.
Me too. I don't think I'm capable of being loved.
That's probably not too far off. Let's see. I can't find the other one. It was some loser no one's heard of. Real good analysis.
I mean, I like that the first guy ever from India. That's just kind of sad because I don't think of Indians as cheaters.
Like, that's racist.
They seem like an honest people. I really do. Like every interaction I've ever had in my life with an Indian has been positive. And I knew a lot of them growing up. Like where I grew up, like there's a lot of Indian families. I like Indians. They're good people. So this man has brought great shame to his caste.
Totally. I can't find him.
I wonder if he's allowed to train with people in other castes or not. I wonder how that works.
I don't know. Is that still a big deal in India? Oh,
yeah. Justin Trudeau got in trouble for it. Because Justin Trudeau made some comment. I think
that guy's always getting out of line.
Well, he made some comments about
so mouthy
about how like they need to like basically he basically said like we should stop shitting on like the lowest caste system in India because like the highest caste like you guys are dickheads for doing this, and then like the people in the highest caste gave him shit saying hey you're being racist towards us that's our culture and history so then he apologized to them.
What was that movie where the kid fell in the shit? Remember that movie?
Kid fell in shit. Sounds like your dog.
No, it won like Best Picture.
Slumdog Millionaire?
Yeah, thank you. Yes.
Yeah, I never watched it.
Good movie.
I bet it was. I haven't given enough thought and put enough energy into appreciating how much I like Indians. The only thing I don't like is the smell. The smell is really awful. And they know it too. Curry really seeps into the walls and it doesn't go away. But otherwise, like, I don't know, like, the idea that, like, this guy was on Balderone, like, it's India. Isn't it possible that's in all their food? Like, if the Mexicans can get away with telling me that their food is tainted, I sure as fuck believe that the Indians have tainted food.
Could be. But do you think, how would Balderone get into their curry?
I don't know how any of this stuff gets into food. I think it's all a lie. But again, if they're going to believe that Mexicans have tainted food... So why wouldn't they put Balderone in like the cows and oh wait, he probably wouldn't be eating beef, would he? That'd be kinda awkward if the Indian Hindu was eating cow. So he's screwed.
Not all Indians are Hindu, are they?
No, but like I think 27% of them are. It's a lot. Think about this. There's a billion plus people in India living in some sort of like 4th century caste system.
Yeah.
The world is really an awful place except for here.
I wouldn't go that far, but it's not bad here.
Yeah, it sounds like you hate America, motherfucker.
So I found the other one.
Oh.
Took me a while, I didn't. Up-and-coming welterweight standout Stefan Sekulic will be forced to ride the pine for the next 2 years after testing hot for the anabolic agent drostanolone and its metabolites, as well as a metabolite of metandidone.
These fucking hipsters are even doing, like, old-school steroids.
I think he's from Russia. Sekulic 26 test positive. Following an in-competition test conducted at UFC Fight Night in Moscow, Russia on September 15th. These are non-specified substances in the class of anabolic agents. Sekulic's two-year period of ineligibility begins on October 31st.
Well, in his defense, though, because like when he did the test, he went into the room and he walked out and he even said to everybody when he came out, he goes, I'm confused. There's no hole in the wall. What do we do with specimens? How is this supposed to work now?
I like how he speaks with broken English, but he knows the word specimen.
He's got an accent, but he still has a very robust vocabulary.
How we put hole in wall specimen. Yes. Stefan came up short in his octagon debut at UFC Fight Night 136, losing to Ramazan Ameev via unanimous decision. You remember that one?
Of course. Yeah, I wonder if his test results came back positive only after it was determined that he lost. And then all of a sudden Putin's like, and you go into the loser bin. He just hits a button on his desk.
It's like a horse. You just put it down. Breaks its legs. In other news,
I'll tell you this much. We'd have a much different society. And our athletes would be a lot different. If they knew that there was a chance that they would just be shot dead if they stopped performing.
I think more fights would go to decision.
Yeah, there'd be a lot. But think about it, though. Wouldn't that be I'm not talking just fighting. I'm talking all sports.
Mm-hmm.
Like basketball and stuff like that. That's what we need to do. People, how do we deal with toxic masculinity? This is how. You put men into sports, you tell them, the loser dies and the winner gets to have sex with as many women as he can for the rest of his life. We're going to create and produce the greatest fighters and athletes ever.
Someone who used to be a great fighter is Nick Diaz. Earlier this month, UFC President Dana White confirmed that the former Strikeforce champ would return to the octagon against Jorge Masvidal at UFC 235 in March. According to Diaz, however, he hasn't accepted the fight and he feels he's being lowballed by the UFC. He said, I think it's rude of the UFC to try and lowball me and expect me to negotiate a deal while I'm training for a fight. It's not going to go down like that.
Why are you negotiating unless you've already agreed to the, you should be training and negotiating. I agree. Most people don't train and negotiate. It kind of undercuts your negotiating stance. It's kind of like in the NFL. Those guys, like, they don't go to camp because if they go to camp, it kind of tells the boss that their holdout isn't all that serious.
It's not going to go down like that. If anybody wants to fight me, they know where to find me. I'm not a hard guy to come get some.
So Nick's plan is he's going to train for a fight, and if the UFC offers him enough money, it'll be in the UFC. But if they don't, he'll just encourage someone to come to his gym and he'll fight them. Which isn't the worst idea, and it's a very Diaz idea. He puts that shit on pay-per-view. I'm watching it. Holy shit, how much money would I pay to watch Nick Diaz fight people off the street? Oh my gosh. Do you know the money you can make? That would be incredible.
It would definitely help with the zone buys, that's for sure.
Oh, I would subscribe to that fucking thing for a year. Once a month, have bum fights with Nick Diaz.
Jorge Masvidal responded on Twitter, everybody's waiting on me to respond. I'm just waiting on a fight. I need to get paid. Neil Magny, where are you at? Hashtag easy money.
I mean, that's a ballsy thing to say, man. Because, like, if you're sitting there looking, going, I got a chance to fight Nick Diaz. That's a big name. That's a big money fight. But I'm going to say, well, if I don't get Nick Diaz, hey, Neil Magny, what are you up to? Like, whoa, buddy. Like, I don't think Jorge Masvidal knows how the whole call-out thing works.
You think Nick will fight in 2019?
I know what Masvidal did. He just went alphabetical. Nick Diaz, Neil Magny. He's just writing the ends. That's all okay. This is.
Yeah.
Do I think he'll fight next year? Yes, I do.
Okay.
When you sent me that tweet, pointing out the number of the people who've had wins since Nick Diaz last won a fight. Yeah. My favorite was Kimbo.
My favorite was Dan Severn.
Well, at least Severn's alive.
Yeah, but he's like 70 years old.
A dead man has a win more recently than Nick Diaz.
Dan Severn was old in the UFC in 1994.
That's true. He really was old back then.
He was like 40. Ugh. God.
He's written like 3 memoirs. This is ridiculous.
He was in the Olympics before most of these people were even fighters and were born, you know?
I think he might have legitimately been on or hoping to get on an Olympic team that would have competed against the Soviet Union.
Sage Northcutt could be his grandkid.
Well, okay, let's not get crazy here. The kid's way too shiny for to be a Severn.
I meant based on age, not on appearance.
I know what you meant.
How old is Dan Severn?
56.
Dan Severn, friend of the show, by the way.
That's right. 63.
He was born in 58.
Oh, never mind.
64. He's
born in what year?
It says he was born in, I'm sorry, 54.
Okay, okay.
And he's 64.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah. His overall record is 101-19-7, with his last win coming in April of 2012.
You know, you got to feel like kind of a badass. You're like, yeah, I've had 100 wins in cage fights in my life.
Why wouldn't you retire after the 100th? Why do you go for 101?
Maybe it's like a tournament.
It wasn't. He won his 100th, then he lost 2 in a row and won his 101st.
It's a really weird tournament.
I guess. Years apart. What the hell? Yeah, Nick Diaz. Yeah, he's hasn't won in a while. Like, they should put him in against somebody he can actually beat. I don't know who that would be, but...
BJ Penn again? He could just have, like, every 7 years or whatever, he could just beat up BJ Penn.
The winner of BJ Penn and Ryan Hall. I like that Penn's fighting at 145 still, too, for some reason. I find that.
This 45? I thought it was 55.
I thought it was 45.
I thought that fight also already happened.
No. I think that's on the next show. It's like the opener on the prelims or something.
Wow.
Former tough winner versus BJ Penn opens the FS1 card. Another guy looking to come back in 2019 is Vitor Belfort.
Who didn't see this coming? I know that De La Hoya said he wanted to do another show. That was I'm not joking. I'm not even joking. But when I saw the thing come at my ESPN app, like, it's like breaking. I'm like, oh, is this really breaking news? That Vitor Belfort to fight again next year. I'm like, well, De La Hoya's got his next fight.
I feel like Belfort should be older than 41. He's only 41.
Given, you know, it's... He was 19, man. 19.
I realize it, but I just feel like, I don't know.
It's weird to think. I don't know how old I think Vitor should be because he still looks pretty good.
If he's back on his medicine.
Yeah. Or even not on the medicine. I mean, I hope I look like that at 40.
Yeah, I'm just, he was looking pretty deflated there at the end, man. But he said on Ariel Helwani's MMA show on ESPN, I'm a free agent. We are in conversation. In 2019, I will come back. I never planned, but I remember in 2007, I made this decision. Okay, I'm going to be fighting until I'm 40. Here I am finishing this plan I made in 2007. You've got to respect your body and know the time to transition to what's next. A lot of athletes cannot transition. They don't have nothing to do after.
is he talking about himself?
Apparently.
This is not a really good way to like sell. Like, I'm fighting at 41 years old now. I know that 11 years ago I said I would stop fighting at 40. I'm going to fight at 41 years old. Now, I'm telling you that a lot of athletes, they just don't plan for the future. It's important for an athlete to plan for his transition out of fighting. If he doesn't have any skills, he may hang on for too long and keep fighting. I'm 41, and I'm good. You know, I'm not there yet.
We are looking for a place where we can be a fighter and be the athlete, and we can bring value. I am very thankful with what UFC provided me, and I saw how UFC was run by very smart businessmen. They gave me the opportunity to create my own platform. I have so much things that I want accomplish, and I think the sport needs a change.
Oh, he's going to start his own promotion. Awesome. That's what this sounds like. I want Vitor Belfort's Brazilian fight. Jungle Fights, Part 5.
I always hated him. I don't know why. I don't know if it's the steroids or the Jesus shit or
he
what.
He looks like the he's proof that douche frat boy is not exclusive to America.
He's just so full of shit. You know what I mean?
Like he's got like that. He's what people think Tim Tebow is.
Maybe. But yeah, rough patch at the end for him in the UFC. TKO lost to Jacare. TKO lost to Musasi. TKO lost to Kelvin Gastelum, overturned for Reed. He had a unanimous win over Nate Marquardt, and then a knockout loss, front kick to Machida. So
you know when that loss to Gastelum got overturned, he probably got that news and it said like, "Hey Vitor, due to a drug failure, the results of your fight are going to be changed." And he must have been thinking, "Can they change my loss to a win? Is that how this works?" I didn't think that was possible. Like, usually when I fail for stuff, I get punished, but all right.
He also had that bad loss to Weidman where he got that title shot. But, yeah, Vitor might come back. Doesn't that sound exciting?
Well, I don't even know which Vitor is coming back.
I don't know. But, like, he'd be fine in Bellator. He could fight, like, Rampage or some shit. Has he ever fought Rampage? Must have. Did they ever fight?
I don't think they have. That's really weird. That is weird to think that somehow they would not have fought, but I can't picture them.
Me neither.
Fighting. I can also picture how that fight could be terrible.
Just a now?
Lot of, even at their primes. I mean, because, you know, any Vitor fight could have been bad.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, and look, Vitor, if anywhere he goes, it's going to be something because it's Vitor Belfort. He's one of the very few guys that's a legitimate legend. And who has a style that, I don't know, it's not like BJ where it's sad. Like, okay, it is sad, actually. It's sad. But I don't really care too much about Vitor Belfort's well-being. Like you, I'm like I'm not really concerned. Like, I never felt an emotional attachment to him. The closest I felt was when his sister got brutally murdered and killed by some sort of gang. Yeah. I'm sure that has something to do with Vitor. Like it was some sort of like payback because he didn't pay a ransom or whatever. And that's why he's so broke up about it today. It's Brazil, man. Like nothing down there is good. It's a really, you know, like the top like cities like for murder in the world. Like they're all in Brazil. Like it's a real violent place.
Most violent cities in the world. Lombard, Illinois.
Oh, yeah. That'd be fun. Now, like Brazil's got like a lot of them. It's a really violent place.
All right, let's find out.
Like, I wouldn't fuck around with Brazilians. Actually, I would because they have like they're mentally weak people, as we've seen in fights over the years. These jokes are only funny if you're like you're one of like a half a person out there who's ever listened to everything I've done. You're like, oh yeah,
this is so stupid. It starts at number 50 and works its way down.
To let people feel good about their places.
I don't know. Number one. I can scroll all the way down. Jeez, King. Wow. That's weird. See, what the fuck? All right, number one. I'm going to do it back. Los Cabos, Mexico is number one.
All right, that's like Brazil. Kind of.
111 homicides per 100,000 residents. That's only like 1%. That's not that bad.
1% of the people are murdered every year.
I mean, I don't know why that's funny, my math might be wrong.
To put in perspective, we are having about 40 or 50,000 people a year in America die from opiate overdoses, which is a lot, but out of 350 million, and we're calling it an epidemic.
100,000. Oh, it's less. It's 0.1%. 0.1%. But either way,
I mean, if there were 3.5 million murders a year in the United States,
that's not how much. It'd be 350,000.
No, it's not. 1% of 350 million is
0.1%. Oh, 0.1%.
Okay.
Yeah. Acapulco, Mexico. Mexico's rough.
I thought Mexico was a nice place. We're supposed to let all of them come here.
Natal, Brazil.
There you go.
Well, you can see why some Mexicans might want to get out of there.
I don't care. I don't want them coming here because they're all violent and drug dealers. I heard my president. I heard what he said. My president told me they're violent.
Fortaleza, Brazil is 7th. Didn't some fighters get like mugged in Brazil?
Yeah.
Wasn't there something like
that? No, all the time.
No, I mean like before a show or something. Or remember the swimmer who was at the gas station and got mugged? And he didn't even get mugged.
He just lied about it.
So weird. Venezuela's got one in the top 10.
There's a shock.
Brazil, Belém, Brazil. UFC's done shows there.
Yeah. Look at that. 3 in the top 10.
St. Louis is 13th.
That's a shithole. And I think that's really just East St. Louis. But...
it doesn't say. Cape Town, South Africa, Kingston, Jamaica, El Salvador. You're right. There's a lot of Brazilian. You're right.
You know what all those places have in common?
Baltimore, 21st.
Nice.
What do they all have in common?
I was going to say they're all former colonies. They're all victims of colonial oppression. Except for Baltimore.
Do you believe that, or are you just saying that?
Well, I think that they all technically were colonies at one point. So.
Right.
I don't know.
Right,
I don't know if that's true about Venezuela. I have no idea.
Well, I mean, I'm sure more powerful, modern, westernized nations have fucked with them over the years and taken advantage of them in some way.
Yeah. All those... all those people and their fucking bow and arrows, whatever the hell they had before we showed up.
Sanibel Island.
I don't know. Like sometimes, like if you don't really think about the way Indians lived, like it wasn't a very good existence. Everybody died young, and women just gave birth out in fields and stuff. I don't know. I think we've done pretty well by them. Some of the killings, but
right. But even like 500 years ago, it was like the plague and shit in Europe. It wasn't that much better necessarily.
And yet here we are today. Actually, you know what? The longer this conversation goes on, the more and more likely it is that something weirdly like white supremacy is going to be said. And I'm not really comfortable with the way this conversation is going there.
Not like, on my part.
I don't know. It's just like, if Europe sucked 500 years ago and America sucked 500 years ago, but now Europe is better. We all started equal. I guess what I'm trying to say is genetic. Maybe there's a genetic component to all the success we're having here. Melanin, man. It makes you smart. Or lack of melanin. I'm not really sure what melanin is, but it's something to do with your skin.
George St. Pierre says he is fully recovered from his health issues, but unsure if he'll ever fight again.
Sounds like him.
I'm feeling great physically, in great shape like never before.
Really? Most people get in their best shape of their life after a 15-year fighting career in their late 30s. Yeah.
Ulcerative colitis is very serious, but I've fully recovered from it. I don't need to take my medication anymore. I could come back, but to tell the truth, it's less and less tempting for me. I did not think I would say that one day. I'm getting older. I don't want to fight a young guy that hasn't made it on the legacy side that isn't a name. I would have nothing to win. Every time we enter the octagon, it's a risk. You could have a bad day. We are always a mistake away from the knockout or a serious injury. So it's always a risk, and the risk must be worth it.
In other words, I would have fought Conor, but no way you'd fuck a fighting Khabib, man. Come on. That's what he's saying. The guy doesn't have a legacy. Connor, he's got a legacy.
Khabib said that he would like to fight me before the McGregor fight. It did not interest me at the time. He was not famous. He did not beat someone with a title or with a name. Now that he beat McGregor, it's better. I'm not the guy who calls out people. It's not my personality. I know people are talking about that fight. However, I know the UFC would not be interested in that fight at 155. They know I'm at the end of my career. I have not many fights left. I will come back for maybe 1, 2, 3 fights, maybe 0. But maybe I will not come back, and I'm okay with that.
Maybe I'll come back. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll have 3 fights. Maybe it's like you only fight once a year at most. It's like 3 fights and dig into your 40s, asshole. Also, what is this? The UFC wouldn't want that fight at 155. Oh, hey, Dana, I'd like to fight at 155 for the world title. I'm one of the biggest draws you have. Yeah, for sure. Would you like me just to back up? Would you like to be paid in Canadian money or real money?
It's the same bullshit with George, pretty much. Like,
which is great.
If there's enough money, he would probably come back.
Yeah.
But it's going to be the right fight. Yeah, absolutely. I don't have an issue with it. But
I mean, I know that
this is going to drag on for years. I know
you like to take management side in these kinds of conflicts, but I think it's good for George to try to get as much as he can.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the anti-union person on this show. All right, moving along. A guy who also won't be fighting in the foreseeable future is Dominic Cruz. I think we touched on his injury last week.
Broken arm.
Shoulder injury.
Oh no.
He's going to be out a year.
Did he tear it or a year?
He said,
Holy fuck.
That's my subscapularis is completely torn off.
The subscapularis?
Yes.
Wow. Jeez.
And my supraspinatus is 75% torn off. So from what I understand, they have to take the tendon and reattach it with a screw or some sort into the bone to get everything reconnected. It's basically an ACL tear of the shoulder.
I like the way he describes it. From what I understand, okay, the doctor explained it to you. He's going to tell me what I understand about this procedure is they're going to attach it with a screw or something. Like, he didn't really listen to the doctor very much, did he? Like... You don't really understand very much at all. Like, your shoulder doesn't work. So from what I understand, they're going to go in there and reattach my shoulder so it works. Okay? Anything else you could tell us about this? No, that's it. That's all I understand.
With all that being said, how I feel is sadness, extreme sadness, to be honest. It hurts. I want to cry. But I also know that this is a long road that I've had already. You can attack whatever you want to in this situation, but it never defeats me and it never will. I'm not the greatest bantamweight of all time despite my injuries. I'm the greatest bantamweight of all time because of my injuries.
That's not how that works. That's not how that works at all.
It's a positive outlook, though.
I mean, if anything, you're not the greatest bantamweight of all time because of your injuries. They didn't make you a better fighter. They've robbed you of the greatest years of your physical prime. And now you're just getting weird shit torn. Like, he's one arm away from having broke, like, every limb. Every limb he's had has needed a year's replacement. If I was him, I'd be real fucking nervous about my spine and my head right now. And probably my dick eventually, because nothing works on... Oh my gosh, his dick is definitely doomed. All of his appendages...
He has fought 4 times since 2011.
Still, he's fought a lot more than Nick Diaz.
I don't know if that's true. He's won a lot more than Nick Diaz. True,
yeah. Oh, that's you're right. Yeah.
He's won triple the amount of times Nick Diaz has in that same time period. What is Nick Diaz's last win? Is it
BJ Penn?
Oh, that's right. I was thinking he had almost never won in the UFC, but I guess is BJ Penn the only win in the UFC since he came back?
Yeah.
That's so bad.
Yeah, I don't. It's like he's like Jim Miller, but people like him.
What a scam!
Yeah.
Actually, he's fought 3 times since 2011. Dominic Cruz has fought more times since 2011 than what's his face? My computer's being
Diaz.
Yeah, Yes.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Yeah. You were right.
Of course. Yeah. I know. I was Nick. Just pulling shit out of thin air there. Yeah. I was,
yeah. But you got it right.
Yeah. No.
Condit, GSP, and Anderson Silva. Those are his three fights since 2011. Pretty bad.
It's been a very frustrating career past couple a half decade for old Nick there, hasn't it?
Well, he made more money than he did total in the rest of his career, so sure. Worked out okay, I guess. And then Cruz has fought Mizugaki, Dillashaw, Faber, and Garbrandt in that same time period. So there you go. In upcoming fight news, I don't have the fights in front of me because my computer screwed up. Hang on. I know we've got Cain Velasquez versus Francis Ngannou going to be on the first ESPN show in February.
Is that good? The first ESPN show? Is that the whole show? Wait. Dillashaw and all that, is that in Arizona?
I believe so.
Huh. That's a good show then. I mean, that's a hell of a fight. I mean, it's a really great fight. That's like, in theory, that's a pay-per-view main event quality fight there. It's just a pay-per-view from different eras. These guys are so far apart. Like, Velasquez could legitimately be considered from a different era of fighter now.
Yeah. Totally.
Like, three or four eras removed at this
point. Well, think of the guys he was beaten. JDS is still around, but, like, he's considered shot for the most part. But none of those guys, like Rothwell or Nogueira, I mean, I guess Brock, you could argue, is around, sort of, but... Bigfoot Silva, all those guys are gone.
Yeah, no, I think Velasquez needs to come back and prove that he still has what it takes to compete with this new elite breed of heavyweights, like Curtis Blades and some tall dude. Yeah,
UFC on ESPN1 is on February 17th in Phoenix, and it is the show. That's not the show with title fight.
It's funny. I've always wanted to go to one of their shows in Phoenix because I have just super strong positive associations with Phoenix, but I'll never will.
There's a lot of fights on this card. Six. There's already 13 fights. To me, it's a weird fight because Kane's been off so long. He hasn't fought since, I think, UFC 200 where he destroyed Mr. Rousey. And he looked incredible. He looked nasty, best heavyweight of all time, like he always would look. But it's like he's been hurt again and hasn't fought in 2 years. And Ngannou, if he hits you once, you're done. But I don't know if Ngannou beating Cain is like a big win for him at this point. And at the same time, Cain might just destroy Ngannou and totally ruin him like Stipe did.
Oh, you know what?
It's just a weird matchmaking. I don't know what the benefit is for either guy. Like, it's kind of a tough fight for Ngannou that doesn't reap a lot of benefit.
Actually, I think the benefit is basically that they are two guys out of the title picture getting to fight a top 10 heavyweight. Yeah. You know, like, that's like all they could really ask for. Each guy has, you know, a name by heavyweight standards. Not a great name or anything like that, but if this is what we got in America, man. We got the guy with brown pride. He doesn't speak. We have a man with brown pride tattooed on his chest, and he didn't speak Spanish when he got it. That's if you want to know what summarizes America, it's that. A man so proud of the heritage that he's never embraced that he'll tattoo it on his chest.
Very judgmental.
Yeah, that's fair.
What else? Hang on, let's look at that UFC. I think the ESPN Plus show, the first UFC on ESPN Plus show, is the one with Dillashaw and Cejudo. Okay. I think that, like, technically that's a fight night, they're calling it, but it's UFC on ESPN Plus 1 is what it's called, which does not roll off the tongue, and that one's in January at Barclays Center.
And that's in Brooklyn, which is part of New York City.
Yes.
Hey, when I get my geography right, let's just leave it at that.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's a borough.
I don't even know what that means. What the fuck's a borough?
I don't know.
No city in America has boroughs except for New York.
Well, that would make sense. It is by far the largest city in the country.
Dicks.
What is a borough? A town or district that is an administrative unit, an incorporated municipality in certain U.S. states, each of 5 divisions of New York City. There you go.
All right.
Good talk. So UFC 235, we have a few fights announced. This is on March 2nd. Planning ahead here, 4 months out at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. I want to know the odds on all of these fights happening. Right now, we've got Robbie Lawler versus Ben Askren. Move to that show.
Totally is going to happen.
Askren is mad because Lawler needs more time to fight. Askren says he can fight him anytime. That's convenient for Robbie Lawler.
I completely believe Ben Askren.
We also have Jeremy Stephens versus Zabit Magomed Sharipov.
That will not happen.
Why?
Because I think people get random injuries when they have to fight ZM Punk.
Steven seems like the kind of guy who doesn't really give a shit, though.
Yeah, but he's also a moron.
Okay, so he could get injured by accident.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like it'll be in his head that he needs to train harder or something like that.
Like his foot could get run over by a tractor or something. He's from Iowa. Maybe hit by a train.
He trains with Dominic Cruz a lot, man.
That's like, true, he does.
There's weird shit in that gym.
And we also have another friend of the site, Mickey Gall versus Diego Sanchez.
That's interesting because Diego looked really good in that last fight of his, but he's still Diego. And Mickey's like 15 years younger than him at this point. I don't know.
Diego's coming off a win over Craig White at UFC 228 in Dallas. And then we've got old Mickey Gall, friend of halfguarded.com, coming off a win over George Sullivan, rear naked choke at UFC Fight Night, Gaethje versus Vic back in August.
Oh, good. Good for them both. I hope it's a good fight. And I don't know. It seems like a tough fight for Mickey.
Is it?
Yeah, just because Diego's really good at what he does still. We've seen that. Like, he's still a good grappler. And that's Mickey's strength. And on the feet, Diego's got more experience. So, I don't know. I mean, plus, Mickey hasn't looked that dynamic in his UFC run so far.
Fun stat.
I like fun stats.
Yeah, this is a sad stat. In his last 16, weird amount, Diego Sanchez is 7-9.
It's a
since 2009.
A fascinating stat you've concocted there. I don't know why you stopped right there. You could have just. He could also be. I don't know. Is he 8-9 or whatever in his last 17?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know.
Is he 9-9 in his last 18?
Yeah. His wins are Paulo Thiago, Martin Kampman, Takanori Gomi, Ross Pearson, Jim Miller, Marcin Held, and Craig White. Not exactly killers.
On the other hand, a lot of names.
You know, yeah, like he always fights a name. It's like he's never in there with a no name.
Until the last one.
True. And that was coming off that elbow loss to Matt Brown, which was brutal.
Yeah.
He did not look good there. And then he also had a KO loss before that to Ray Janelle.
Well, as we know now, though, that's nothing to be ashamed of, it turns out.
True.
Now,
true.
In hindsight, that looks like really like one-sided matchmaking.
I like that you're becoming a Diego Sanchez sympathizer.
Well, I'm not a Diego Sanchez denier, if that's what you think.
I deny he ever existed. In other news, there are no shows this weekend whatsoever that I can find. There's no UFC, and there's no Bellator, because I think it, like, Christmas is coming up.
Yeah, I'm guessing that people are like, I'm not going to fight 3 days before Christmas. I'll fight 3 days after Christmas.
Just considering all the shows they run and like Christmas falls on a Tuesday, I'm surprised there's no show on Saturday, but there isn't.
Thanks a lot, UFC. What are people going to do? Talk to their family? Watch football? Oh, it's probably because there's football.
But like, do are people getting together the Saturday before when Christmas is on a Tuesday? That seems weird.
I have no idea. I'm not getting together with any of them, so.
Sounds like a good play. You, what are you doing? You're not doing anything for Christmas? Don't you go to a Dakota or some shit?
No, we've actually never gone to the Dakotas for Christmas.
Oh, pardon me.
I expect you to keep track of these things. But, no, I will be here, and it's just me, my brother, my mom, and my sister-in-law, and the dog.
Okay. Sounds awesome.
Actually, it's going to be great, because I bought so many good gifts for people. I'm going to totally win Christmas this year. I just fucking lit the world on fire with awesomeness. I've been very, very thoughtful. I put a lot of thought into things, yeah.
So you're changing it up this year?
Yeah, I wanted to change. I'm hoping that as everyone around me seems to get richer and richer, I can get left in their will or something, so I'm going to become nicer.
Smart, yeah. Good angle.
Yeah, I'm always thinking.
Yeah, one step ahead.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna start gaslighting my brother slowly but surely over the years, so that like he only relies on me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you said you were gonna gas him at first.
Well, I could gas him too.
Like in what the hell's that movie? I see dead people where she's poisoning the daughter.
Yeah, Sixth Sense.
All I can think was Shining, yes.
Yeah, a variation of Munchausen by proxy, yes. It's exactly something I could see myself doing. Although it is possible that I would just randomly, I wouldn't say I poisoned my brother to kill him, but I could definitely see me just like drugging him for the hell of it to see what would happen.
Well, that's just plain old fun.
Like I would, oh my gosh, I would give anything to slit my sister-in-law or something. That would be incredible just to see her get really high and not know what's happening until like halfway through, be like, oh, you ate one of those cookies? I'm sorry. You're going to have a really weird Christmas now.
Speaking of weirdness, Donald Trump's in the news a lot. He's our president. There's this story about him having to shut down a charity or something because it might be used for his personal gain and whatever. It went towards the campaign. I don't know all the details, but the one story that caught my eye the most was the fact, do you know who the number one people to donate to the Trump Foundation is? Are?
McMahon's.
Yes, the largest donors to that organization were Vince and Linda McMahon.
That's because real recognizes real.
I guess. But how great would it be if Vince McMahon is the one that takes down Donald Trump? Like, inadvertently or whatever. But, like, back, like, 2-3 years ago when we were just talking about Trump running and just first doing the show. I'm like, I could never vote for anyone who was at WrestleMania. And, like, Vince finally can get his win back. He got his head shaved, and now he's going to get Trump impeached by giving him these millions of dollars and it being used inappropriately.
You know, it would be so fitting for so many reasons. But imagine, like, the whole world would see a pro wrestler take down the president of the United States, and they would laugh at it.
It'd be the perfect way for this thing to end. It's so poetic.
It would be spectacular, and it would vindicate Vince McMahon's entire life. Like, think about, like, he would legitimately be able to, like, hey, man, I really pulled off. I took down a president, motherfucker. Like that's a pretty baller move. But also, it would split America, because half the country would be people like us, to be laughing at this and think this is so crazy. Then the other half of the country would be absolutely be like, yeah, I can see where this happened. Yeah, Vince hates him. We all know this. They got a feud. I watched it on Raw.
Well, there was one and how many? Remember when the stock dropped because people really thought Trump was taking over or something, or yeah, Vince died?
People are stupid as shit.
I get. So here's the basic gist of the story. The attorney general's suit alleges that Trump uses charities' money as his own piggy bank, including to help his presidential campaign by paying for giveaways at Iowa rallies. The foundation was little more than a checkbook for payments to not-for-profits from Mr. Trump or the Trump Organization. The Washington Post reporting showed that for years, Trump appeared to use the foundation, which was by law an independent entity, to make payments that bolstered his interests. So basically, he's like,
yeah, There's nothing there.
Shuffling money around. But here's the thing. Like, why wouldn't, if you're worth billions of dollars, why would you take money from your nonprofit? Why not just take money from your businesses and use that instead? Or is that illegal too?
It's the same reason the Clintons have their giant Clinton Foundation. There's something about the way that these charities work with these rich people. I don't know what it is, but they all seem to have them and they use them to spend. And I think
it's a way to hide money or something.
I think it's partially a way to hide. Yeah. It's gotta be a way to hide money.
To beat taxes.
It's helping you beat taxes while maintaining a lifestyle or whatever. Like, my guess is that whatever's going on with the charity, like, they're not going to find anything because they hire good lawyers on this stuff. Like, this is an accounting thing. It's a paperwork deal. I'm sure they're careful enough. And if they're not, oh, well, Donald Trump stole money from charities. Fucking news at 9.
WWE gave 114 times as much to the foundation as Trump did himself. In 2009, Forbes show the WWE gave $1 million more. And over $5 million in total.
I have no idea why any of this stuff happens other than I'm positive this is a tax scam. Like, there's got to be some deal where, like, the McMahons have a charity and Trump has a charity and they all, like, keep track of and give each other the exact same amount so they can, like, shuffle money around. And there's, like, one white-collar law firm, accounting firm, Arthur Anderson, is doing all of it or something.
It just looks so shitty, too, because, like, Linda gets this, like, position in the cabinet. It's just, like, looks so bad. And I'm not just putting that on Trump. I'm sure shit like that happens with Obama and everybody. But even so, it's just, like, every day there's some stupid story like this that comes out on him. It's like, none of it ever sticks. So it's like, at this point, like, I've kind of just stopped paying attention, but this one just caught my eye because it was Vince. And I think it's hilarious that Vince could be involved in this, like, huge scandal.
If only. Can you imagine Raw?
Did you see they were going to, like, they were claiming it was like a brand new start to Raw, and they opened the show with 70-something-year-old Vince coming out, Stephanie, Triple H, and Shane. That's like the new generation. It's like, holy shit.
It's like a...
So bad.
A retro thing? I don't know. Trump's president.
That's different.
But like, literally anything, like, when anything happens and you're like, what's going on? You just go, yeah, Trump's president. Of course, the McMahons are new and improved or whatever. Boys are girls. Girls are boys. Trump's president. Vince McMahon is hip and young.
We were talking about India earlier and how steroids could possibly get in food. Well, it's funny you had mentioned that. Toxic pesticide that a UN agency wanted India to ban a decade ago contaminated food that killed at least 15 people at a temple last week. More than 100 also had to go to hospital after devotees consumed portions of tomato rice blessed at the Hindu temple in the southern Indian state of Karnataka.
We live in a world where 15 people in India get food poisoning and die, and it's a story somehow. That's crazy, man.
That it's a story? Or you think that happens a lot?
I'm very confident that people die of food poisoning in India all the time. It's a very unsanitary country. It's really not sanitary at all. The Ganges River and all that shit. Like, those people, lots of those people are really poor.
I like how you speak so assuredly on these places when, like, you only fly to Denver for weed and go to the Dakotas a couple times a year.
I read a lot, though. I don't go to poor places. I'm not stupid. I'm not going to visit a poor place where you're going to die of food poisoning. I'm an idiot. Like, I haven't been to North Korea, and I know that sucks.
A senior police officer told Reuters that laboratory tests showed the presence of monocrotophis, a pesticide which attacks the nerves, in food and vomit samples. Sounds like a good job to have. We were trying to find out how the food got contaminated and not ruling out foul play. We have detained a few people and are inquiring further.
I thought, and maybe it is foul play, but there's something about, like, I don't know, the idea of a a poisoning at an Indian wedding or something like that. Like, it's very Game of Thrones.
The same pesticide was responsible for the death of 23 school children in the eastern state of Bihar in 2013. Ooh. One of India's worst mass poisonings. That was caused by cooking oil kept in a container previously used to store monocrotophos.
At least in America, our kids die from guns. They're not dying from whatever that is. Food in a bucket.
Pesticides. Actually, this pesticide is illegal in 46 countries.
What about America?
It doesn't say. I'm hoping we're one of the 46.
I don't know, man.
Like, maybe Trump took that away. That's probably some liberal Obama bullshit.
Sounds like it.
Trying to hold down the businesses.
Damn right. You don't know how this pesticide. Hey, they got rid of DDT, and now millions of people are dead in Africa. So I don't trust all this shit.
I don't trust Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yeah, I know. That dude's totally a scam artist. He's getting high. I'm sure that whenever you see him, he's like, I'm so clear and clean. It's like, really, I just found a good drug. I'm on something new. I'm snorting aspirin.
I'm not sure of the reason, but while the Memphis Tigers basketball team took on number 3 Tennessee Volunteers, a man at the sold-out FedEx Forum took care of his number 2 business and was subsequently arrested. A security guard was
Wait, hold on.
Yes.
I think it would be an amazing story
mm-hmm.
if you just stop right there.
Okay.
The story would be, in a college basketball game, a man relieved himself and got arrested. And that's all it would be. Presumably, he just went to the bathroom like any other person would, took a shit, and just happened to be the unlucky son of a bitch who was shitting when they had just outlawed taking a dump.
No. Maybe he got into some of that poison rice. I don't know what caused this. But a security guard was making her way from a stairwell and saw the man, later identified as 46-year-old Royce Tomas Lodos, squatting behind a concession stand. She went over to Lodos and found that he had his pants off his body, exposed himself to several people walking nearby, and was defecating on the floor.
Okay, was he really exposing himself to people, or was he just taking a shit and happened to be exposing himself? To me, exposing myself is kind of like you wiggle it around like you're Ric Flair or some shit like that.
The security guard called for her partner, who saw the same thing. Lodos told police officers that people in the restrooms were taking too long to clear out, so he had to do what he had to do.
I'm guessing that somewhere in this story, some combination of the words, police suspect that the man had been drinking will be uttered.
That I don't have, but it seems believable. Usually, I don't. Okay.
I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often.
It's more, well, it's kind of, I don't know. I would probably just wait.
Well, yeah.
Ever had to shit so bad that you're going to shit in an arena in the middle of a staircase?
Okay.
No matter how drunk you are? Like, I can see, like, you know, pissing in the parking garage or something.
Okay. I had a gun pulled on me when I tried to, when I took a piss in New York outside. We've discussed that at times. And so that's happened. I think, I don't know, like, I guess if you really had to go,
mm-hmm.
I guess going to stairwell is all you could do. Like, let's say if it was a real emergency, it's an emergency. Now, the fact that
don't you just go to the line in the bathroom and say, guys, I really got to take a shit. Like, do you mind if I go ahead?
Like, I don't know. Like, if you ate the occupied.
If you ate the poison rice and we're in your seat and you're like, oh, my stomach's not feeling good, I gotta get to the bathroom. Like, you run to the bathroom.
I know, but
you don't
shit
in the middle of public.
But, like, what if the bathroom's full?
You wait a second.
Again, maybe he can't wait. So he goes to the stairwell and does his business.
You still had to walk all the way from the stairwell. It's an arena. There's probably fucking 20 toilets right in that room. So it's gonna clear up pretty quick.
If you think that you can wait, you wait. If you don't think you can wait, what's your alternative?
I've just never been in that situation, so I guess I'm having a hard time relating.
You don't think you drink enough. You haven't you got. Actually, I don't really drink much anymore, but you really get going there.
Usually I'm pissing. I'm not shitting.
I mean, and that's going to be like beer shits too. That's not going to be good. But it's and the fact that they arrested him tells you that this was not innocent. Like, if it really had been like a situation where it'd be like, I'm sorry, the fucking thing was full. I am so embarrassed. I didn't know what to do. I tried to hide. And people would be like, okay, let's get you off to the corner. Instead, he's probably like sitting there waving his dick around, shit, and going, fuck you guys, man. I had to take a shit. You can kiss my black ass. I don't know if he's black.
He was white.
No way there's a black guy. It's totally a white guy, white kid thing. He's a white frat boy.
He's older. Anyway, changing subjects slightly. In Hendersonville, Tennessee, a man is accused of urinating onto 50 pairs of children's shoes at the Hendersonville Walmart. Philip Lightfoot was charged with a misdemeanor and is currently being held on other charges.
Where's this at?
Tennessee.
Okay.
Probably where Kane lives. Hendersonville police say they received a complaint from Walmart on March 5th of the suspect publicly relieving himself on the shoes, which are valued at $550.
What, he pissed on like 1,200 pairs of shoes if they're at Walmart?
And they're kids. Walmart discarded the soiled shoes, shockingly.
Wait, did they say it was in public he did this? You tell me he didn't take the children $500 worth of kids' shoes in private to the bathroom and pee all over them?
No.
Which would be so much fucking better. There's some guy grabs a shopping cart, just starts piling shoes in them, goes to the thing like, sir, you can't go in the bathroom with merchandise. He just closes his door, starts pissing all over him. What? I didn't do it in public.
I don't understand, like, what's going on there.
I'm going to guess drugs or some sort. Or it's Walmart.
But the fact that it's kids' shoes, it just makes it funnier and more weird. Do you have guess on this man's ethnicity?
Hispanic.
He is African American, and he's being charged with vandalism under $1,000, criminal trespass, disorderly conduct, and the kicker, violation of probation.
Oh well. I'm surprised that if he's a black guy, they didn't give him assault with a deadly weapon whipping around his dick. It's, you know, big.
Do you think someone who works at Walmart for minimum wage should get more money for discarding those piss shoes? The Waltons could probably afford it, right?
It's not a question if they can afford it. It's whether they morally that it would be right for them to give somebody more money. Morally, this person has agreed to terms of a contract. Now, just because there's $500 worth of pee-covered shoes, it would be immoral to give them more money. Because that would be, you're not giving money to all the other workers. And that's just, it's unfair. You have to treat people equally. Equity is the highest principle, as I've learned from all the socialists in the world. We all need to be treated equally. From each his own, or to each his own, whatever the fuck. If you can do it, you have to do it. That's the rule. So, yeah. You
know, all right, there were 50 pairs of children's shoes there, and 50 full-time employees getting paid $11 an hour. Did they get a little perk before Christmas for each getting rid of one of the pairs?
If they each did one shoe or one pair of shoes, if you wanted to, you could, but again, you couldn't, because I want to be fair to the workers at other Walmarts who've also collectively bargained. They're all in this together. And let's face it, it's Walmart. You think there's not a designated team of employees on every shift dedicated just to cleaning up urine spots and stuff?
Remember People of Walmart? That was kind of a good bit. You don't see those anymore.
Yeah, because it's just all of us.
I resemble that remark.
Do you even have a Walmart near you?
25 minutes away.
Oh.
Yeah. There's one on Cape, two on Cape, maybe. We have a Kmart 20 minutes away.
You guys still have Kmarts?
Yeah. There's not many, but yeah. Yeah.
This has been Reliving Box Stores on halfguarded.com.
We got a Target coming to the Cape. Because Sears closed. Sears is getting replaced by Target.
You take one of Chicago's own and replace it with Minneapolis.
Is that? I don't even know. Okay.
the Target Center and all that shit.
It's weird. My washing machine broke, and like I called Sears, and they still have people like come and fix that shit. But there's no stores, and they're out of business. I was like, all right.
Yeah, some of their parts of their of the Sears brand and business are really successful.
But yeah. It costs $100 just to get them to come and look at your shit. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Bet. They're scam artists.
Well, you have no choice. It's either that or buy a new washer. Do you know today my microwave broke and I bought a new microwave and I replaced it myself, like an overhanging one.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
You kind of bought it? Did you just steal it?
I can't go into details how I got my hands on this microwave. But
from work.
It's one that hangs above. No, I didn't. It's one that hangs
above. No. Let's be real clear here. I did not steal from
No, because we don't have that kind. But anyway, you know how some microwaves hang above like the stove?
Yeah, I got
like one. I took that fucker out and replaced it myself. It was pretty good.
Wow.
Because sometimes like I just YouTube shit like that now. And mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I can probably do that.
I did that when I fixed that lamp.
I know. That was big. But it's one of those things that you probably only replace like once or twice in your life. Because like my house was built in 2002 and we still have all like the original appliances. So it's like shit's starting to break all the time now. I'm like, maybe I can save some money and figure this out on my own. But it's actually relatively easy.
Plus it's a microwave. Like, it push comes to shove, you just buy one for $30 at Walmart.
Yeah, but I needed. I was trying to make it easy, so I had to find like the same model and stuff. It's a long story, but anyway. In closing,
listen to this.
Maybe that's not definite. I figure we should finish with a story revolving around Christmas. It is the holidays. It's that time of year. So this one caught my eye. The headline reads, Santa rips off his beard and yells, get the fuck out, after fire alarm goes off.
It's good that he's used the word fuck. If you're going to rip off your beard when you're Santa Claus and just expose the fraud of the whole thing, you might as well also just throw in a gratuitous swear.
This guy may have overreacted. I don't know. I wasn't there. This happened in Cambridgeshire in England.
He overreacted.
How dare you? A bad Santa ruined the magic of Christmas for dozens of children in St. Ives when parents claimed he ripped off his hat and beard and started swearing at them. They're usually civil. This story is really good for a number of reasons, but I'll let you figure those out. The usually civil annual Father Christmas grotto experience.
Usually civil, as in like sometimes this stuff happens. Once in a while, Santa Claus loses his shit.
Christmas grotto experience was being staged at the Corn Exchange Market Hill on Sunday when disaster struck.
Disaster.
The descent into chaos began when smoke machines from a separate family-friendly blow-your-whistle rave event held downstairs triggered the fire alarm.
Wait. Fucking family-friendly rave? I'm sorry. I am never going to be lectured by somebody from England again in my life. Family-friendly rave event, the smoke machine from the family-friendly rave alerted people to something being amiss.
I don't know why it's called Blow Your Whistle rave event either. Bring whistles and blow them and dance around with glow sticks and shit.
You know those whistles that you have like referees have on their fingers? I picture people, like everybody in there like blowing the whistles like instead of how rave kids also have, pacifiers. They have whistles. There's blowing whistles. And meanwhile, the sound of people with a whistle rave of children didn't distract anybody but the smoke machine.
Around 50 children and their parents were left open-mouthed when, in the process of guiding families to safety, it is alleged Santa began acting very strangely, ripping off his costume and issuing a few choice words. A spokesman for St. Ives said last Sunday during a family rave event in the Corn Exchange, St. Ives, the fire alarms were activated by smoke in the charter hall. Santa was upstairs in his grotto.
You can't call it a grotto when the man rips off his mask and screams, "Get the fuck out of here!" as he's barreling past children like George Costanza, and you're calling it a grotto?
I can't get it together.
I mean, see, your parents are in some store, and your kids see Santa rip off his beard and go, "Get the fuck out of here!" And you got to be going, "That's really traumatic. That's the kind of thing my kid's gonna remember forever." Meanwhile, the family friendly whistle rave is happening, and they're just going, "Oh, that's totally fucking normal, man." But Santa up there in the grotto isn't who we thought he was.
I bet
the guy getting paid $12 an hour to have little English kids spit in his face isn't quite up to snuff. Little kids go down and they go to the whistle rave, and then they come up and they're just blowing that fucking whistle right in Santa's ear all day.
I bet the people at the whistle rave couldn't even hear the alarm going off because it's a rave with all this crazy EDM music going on. They just thought the beat dropped. And blowing whistles and shit.
They're like, "Oh, the boom dropped.
Beat dropped, whatever. I think I said it right."
You had it. Santa was upstairs in his grotto, an event organized by Festal Events St. Ives, and immediately assisted in the evacuation of the building.
Did he really assist? Is that how we're going to phrase this now? He was assisting?
Okay. Festival Events wishes to apologize for any offense or distress caused to parents and children by their attempts to ensure all visitors and staff had exited the building and were safe.
Sorry we saved you.
A Cambridgeshire mum who wished to remain anonymous claimed Santa used the most vile language. She told Cambridgeshire Live, "The smoke machine set the fire alarms off at the venue. People were in the process of vacating the building, and in came angry Santa, swearing, using the most vile language, ripping off his hat and beard, with steam literally coming from his ears. Not too sure why he was so cross. He was shouting at people to leave, which is exactly what we were doing. Very strange behavior."
I'm sorry, it sounds to me like Santa's instructions worked. Did anybody die?
No.
There wasn't even a fire, though.
Well, Merry Christmas.
The incident led parents to frantically try and explain what was wrong with Santa to their children. One little boy was left particularly upset when Santa used the F word, a parent claimed.
He then returned to the whistle rave and danced away all of his fears and upset feelings.
"My friend's little boy was upset as his dad was carrying him when Santa told him to get the fuck out. We told our children he wasn't the real Santa. He was an imposter and will be going on the naughty list. The free Santa Grotto event was billed as an opportunity for children to come in and see Santa and his chief snowman, with each child receiving a gift." Well, they're going to get a gift they never will forget. That is for sure.
The idea that hearing Santa Claus say fuck is like traumatic to children. I understand how that happens. Like, I'm not oblivious to the idea of little children and Santa and all this. I know how it works. But that only works in a society that doesn't also have children going to whistle raves. Like, your kids can't go to whistle raves in the basement and then come upstairs and get upset if Santa Claus isn't quite as authentic and cheerful as they used to hear from him.
It's so good.
I just not a picture... creature was stirring, not even a mouse, except for a little Jimmy down there going, "Oots, oots, 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 oots." He's fucking tripping his balls off, eating fucking wands, glow-in-the-dark wands.
I just love the image of the Santa tearing his shit off and screaming at everybody. And there's not even a fire. Like, it was, like, so unnecessary. Just the whole thing's awesome.
Meanwhile, there's so all good. These, like, all these kids that kind of look like goth kids are coming out with everybody. That are like, the fucking people in the street are just like, "What the fuck is going on? There's Santa Claus and a bunch of, like, looks like preteen ravers. What the hell? What is Woolworths doing? Christmas has gotten weird. This war on Christmas is, man, this Brexit's hitting England hard."
I think that does it for this week.
I think it does. Yes, everybody.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas. Thank you for listening. We should be back next week unless something weird happens. Check us out on halfguarded.com, halfguarded Twitter, halfguarded Instagram. This here show, you can also listen on iTunes, Google Play, and various other streaming platforms. We will catch you next week. Bye-bye.